This is BBC Radio Gloucestershire. I'm Pete Wilson, talking to Bill Hook today. You'll remember Bill had a shop in Westgate Street. We've discussed his school days, going through the war. We got to 1946 and D-Mob. The little bird has told me that you were once a milkman. Is that right?
Well, that's not really true. The little bird has part of it true. I was a milkman for Joan's father. When I came home on leave, he would send one of the men working on the farm off for a week's leave, and I would do the milk round, which was all around Elmbridge Road, Sisson Road, Riversley Road, Merivale Road, all these roads around that area. It was a large milk round, and obviously somebody has seen me doing this just when I was demobbed and probably during the odd weeks, 10 days leave I used to get when I was in England. That's where that come from.
So what did you do when you came back then from Africa and you get back here and you've been up north and you've come back to Gloucester?
I started the shop pretty well immediately, one could say, after I came out the services. I was obsessed, and still am, with sport, rugger and cricket in particular, and that was always my ambition, to have a sports shop. Even when I was at my last days at school, I always wanted to have a sports shop.
So how did you come to get the shop then and get it where it was in Westgate Street?
Well, I looked at several premises, but I always wanted one in Westgate Street. I can't really give a reason for that, except that I came for the West, and of course I knew not dozens, but dozens upon dozens of people in the West, and I always felt that's where I should be, within the sound of the cathedral bells.
And it wasn't far from the cathedral bells, was it?
No, it was not very far from the cathedral bells. I often think at times it was too close to the Roma Cafe, because if I wasn't in the shop, I'd be in the Roma Cafe. But we opened in 46. In September, I remember it very well, because Barton Fair was on, which was held on the Oxalis, just over Westgate Bridge in those days. And Westgate Street, from 4 o'clock, the buses used to run from the cross down if they could get by. Westgate Street was absolutely chock-a-block, as we would say, with people, hundreds, going down to Barton Fair. I expect a lot of people can remember that in those days.
Oh, I can remember Barton. I was born in 1949, but I can still remember Barton Fair and going and coming out with like a silver foil thing on a piece of elastic, which was the bee's knees for me.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Winning all those chalk things on the darts or a goldfish or whatever.
Yes, win a goldfish. It was wonderful. The kids used to win a goldfish. But I can remember the crowds flocking down Westgate Street certly from 5 o'clock onwards, 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. You could hardly ride a bicycle between them then, and they wouldn't move.
No, in those days, Westgate Street, people drove up West Street and down Westgate Street. It was a two-way road up over the cross.
There used to be a policeman on the cross often in those days. They put the lights there later on, and the lights would often fail, and there was always a bobby stood on the cross in case the lights failed so he could take over directing the traffic.
What about the logistics of setting up a sports shop then? Presumably when you did it, you didn't know an awful lot about it.
Well, that's true, but I went and I wrote to Stuart Surridge at Surridge's before I opened up, and I wrote a letter to him and told him what I was about to do and would he give me an apprenticeship for a few weeks. Well, we had relatives in London, not far from Surridge's, and I went and stayed with them for some weeks, and I had the privilege of working at Surridge's, making cricket bats and tennis rackets. And not only that, but I also went on more than one occasion down to a stream like the Avon, or more so the Leddon. The Leddon would be nearer what it was like. And there I helped to cut down trees to make
willow trees for cricket bats.
Yes, willow trees for cricket bats. We took them back in a lorry and I went with the man taking them back and we trimmed them up. And I actually had a very, very good insight into the sports trade, which I'm afraid a lot wouldn't have today.
From memory, your shop was split level, wasn't it? Didn't you go up some steps in the middle?
There was a couple of steps to go up. You're absolutely right, yes.
Of course, sports equipment then is very different to sports equipment now.
Absolutely. And sports equipment in those days, just after the war, as a lot of things, was in very short supply. But I always kept up the thing that I'd started of going to the factories every year. I used to go to Schlesinger's and all these different people. In fact, I used to take my wife with me at weekends. We used to stay in Huddersfield, the George Hotel Huddersfield, with Joan with me, and we would spend approximately three nights there, and I would go to Schlesinger's and other factories which are in that area, and I would always select my own cricket bats. I never had a cricket bat sent to the shop that I hadn't picked out myself, because I don't know whether you know or not, but at these factories, there is a very large room which would probably hold 1,000 bats, which are put aside for county cricketers. And the rest are what we call the bulk that are going out to shops and what have you. Well, having worked at Surridge's, I knew this. And my aim was to go straight to where the county bats were. And I used to say, if they're good enough for the county cricketers, they're good enough for my clients, because they're exactly the same price. But that's how it was. I don't know whether that is carried out these days or not, but it was in those days.
And how did you know what to stock?
Well, I'd been playing with a lot of clubs, not rugby clubs. I only ever played for Gloucester Rugger Club, bar one game which I had for Gloucester Old Boys. Other than that, I never played any local rugger at all. But I had played for Gloucester Cricket Club and the Gloucester Thursday Club and Gloucester Nondescripts. And I'd played against the Wagon Works and all the local clubs. I knew where they were and where they operated from. And this gave me a big advantage over a pure novice going into a shop who wouldn't have had any knowledge of these things.
You mentioned Thursdays there, because there were Thursday leagues in both football and cricket, because, of course, Thursdays in Gloucester, probably in your day, were half-day closing.
Half-day closing was a Thursday for all shops. And the Thursday leagues were as prominent in those days as the Saturday ones are today. And Gloucester Thursday had a very, very good side in which a lot of the Saturday people played. People like Fred Hawker, who was a stalwart amongst the Gloucester nondescripts in his early days, and then, because of the travelling difficulties, joined the City Club. And Fred was the skipper for a long time. And Donnie Meadows, I played with Donnie Meadows in the Thursday Club. Donnie wouldn't play on Saturdays because he was too busy, but he would play on a Thursday, and he played for Gloucester Thursday. And we played clubs from all over the place. I remember playing at Edgbaston once on the county ground on a Thursday. Very nice ground and a very enjoyable half day there.
I always remember, because I always bought my sports kit in your shop, and I always remember you being a man who was always prepared to spend as much time as anybody wanted giving advice and pointing youngsters, especially, in the right direction. If you were buying football boots, the right ones to get, rugby boots, the right ones to get, and I remember it very well.
Yeah, I don't think that I today would be very competent at selling what I call these dancing slippers. I'm not surprised when I hear one of the England wings hurting his ankle. Well, there's no ankle support to these shoes. And what surprises me is that a lot of the forwards even wear them. Well, in my day, they were covering your ankle. They were a solid toe, hence the toe punt. None of this round-the-corner kicking that you have today. Very few people did the round-the-corner kick in those days. It was always straight on. But time goes on and things change. But I do like the colour of these modern shoes. I do.
I can't imagine you wearing a pair of bright yellow rugby boots, I'm afraid.
Not really.
You know, the other thing I always joke with people about your shop, there always seemed to be a sale on. There was always something at a sale price.
Well, you always got something left over that you wanted to get rid of, because it's a marvellous shopkeeper who doesn't buy the wrong things. With all the best will in the world, not only perhaps the wrong things, but also too much of one thing. I remember once buying far too many boys' boots in sizes 3s and 4s, things like that, and you're just glad to get rid of them. Perhaps what you gave for them, or very little on that, so that you in turn can buy new stock.
We'll hear a little bit more about the shop and a story I've got for Bill about his shop, and then we'll find out about his Gloucester rugby career. As you heard, he said he played one game for Gloucester Old Boys, all the others for Gloucester and England, of course. We'll talk about that very soon.